We're up to the second bracha of the Shemona Esrei. The first bracha is called Avos. The next bracha is called Gevuros. It describes the tremendous, awesome power of the Almighty, which is the reason why we come to daven before Him. Avos is a description of who we are, where we come from, and why we're coming to you, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And then, getting a little bit more into the nature of the Almighty, Gvuros describes His strength, His power. It's not only the explanation for why we come before Him, but it's an acknowledgement and a salutation. When you come before the Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you acknowledge who it is before you come. You actually want to somehow salute and acknowledge the Almighty for what He is as best we can. If you look at the words, it is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power vis-a-vis man. It's a description that's most personal. It's a description of everything that the Ribono Shel Olam does for us. And in a few words, it captures all the magnificent power of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, because the first three brachos represent the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so it's appropriate that the second bracha be the bracha of Gevura, because that's the midah, that's the character trait of excellence of Yitzchak, as manifested by Yitzchak at the Akedah, where he said, insistent that he do the mitzvah correctly, bind me tight, he says to his father, so that I should not even move away from the knife, not even with the slightest inflection, that there be complete, total devotion. And even though that's something that a human being naturally would need to try to save his life, to move away from the knife. So the Gevura of Yitzchak was, I'm not moving away from the ma'acheles, the shchot. I'm not moving away from the knife. I'm committed to do the work that it takes me to give up my life. And that work is work he commits to with Gevura. That's strength, courage. That's true Gevura. So that's why this, the second bracha, is the bracha that corresponds to our father Yitzchak. Atah Gibor Lo'olam Hashem. Now, it's true that the word Gibor and Lo'olam come together. Atah, you are Gibor Lo'olam. You have a Gevura that is everlasting. It's eternal strength. Remember, any strength that you and I could think of is passing, it's ephemeral. Nothing is going to last forever. The only thing that is of strength that lasts forever is the Almighty. Everything else in the course of time will peter out. The greatest, most powerful star, the sun, and all of its fiery power eventually burns out. There's nothing that is Gibor La'olam but only Hashem. So it's obvious, but it's something that nevertheless is striking because it's so unique. Whereas in the created world, nothing is eternally strong. Nothing is Gibor La'olam. But it also means Atah La'olam. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something beyond time and space. So we learn, according to Rav Nisim Gaon, that the point of Atah Gibor and the point of Atah La'olam is distinct. So it means both at the same time. It means Gibor La'olam, and it also means Atah Gibor Kama, and you are La'olam, Adoshem. And then it gets into the first and foremost of all the Gevuros, which is Mechaye Mesim. Because if something comes to an end and is so definitively different from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it is the virtual opposite of Atah Gibor La'olam. anything and everything that comes to an end and that passes from this world, that has Misa, is definitively contra-opposite. It is not at all like the Ribono Shel Olam. And in spite of that, Mechaye Meisim Ato. So you have your status and stature of being Gibor La'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forever, and almighty and eternally mighty. And then you have simple man, here today, gone tomorrow, and yet you turn around and bring about a rejuvenation, and you bring about a new life, and man who dies is granted through you the virtual opposite of his nature. His nature is to pass from this world. And you take a bit of your eternal capacity, a bit of your eternal nature, and you grant man Tchias HaMesim, and grant man his reincarnation, so to speak, that he's brought back to life. But it's the virtual opposite of man, and it's the ultimate in what the Ribono Shel Olam is all about. The Ribono Shel Olam is eternal. He is Gibor La'olam, no one and nothing else. So that's why the bracha is structured this way, by saying, Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem, and the first gvura is the gvura that means the most to us. Because he brings us back and gives us a bit of that la'olam, a bit of that nitzchis, of that eternity that is so intrinsically his and not at all ours by nature. Rav Lahoshia, who saves us from being eternally lost and gone. There's nothing that could be as disheartening to man as saying, it's all for naught. Everything we do, everything we try to accomplish, everything we try to live for, we're gone. Yameinu kitzel over. Our days, like a fleeting, passing shadow, we're out of here in so few years. But no, you help us. You help us by granting that we should be able to come back, that we're able to have Tchias HaMesim, that if we are meritorious enough, you give us a little bit of your Gibor La'olam Hashem. Now, if that's the ultimate in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and he restores us to life, even though naturally a human being is flesh and blood and cannot be eternal, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us a bit of his La'olam Hashem, and he is Mechaye Meisim, that is Rav Lahoshia. That is a huge or an abundance of salvation. It's the greatest salvation of them all. And that's therefore why we begin the Brach of Gvura with this specific array, if you will, of words. That you are Hashem L'Olam forever. You then turn around and are Mechaye Meisim to man who are virtually the opposite, finite flesh and blood. Rav Lahoshia, that is the greatest and most abundant kindness and salvation possible. And then we say, either Mashiv HaRuach or Moedir HaGeshem, and according to the Gaon, here in Chutzlaret, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, we know that we say at this point, Morid HaTol. Now, both Morid HaTol and Mashiv HaRuach or Moedir HaGeshem are descriptive of the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to sustain life here and now. So we're going from mentioning the fact that there's an eternal nature and that man is granted a Tchias HaMesim, because we get a little bit of Hashem's Gibor La'olam aspect granted to us when he is Rav Lahoshia. And then we come to the more mundane, if you will, day-to-day benefits that we have and the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide for his world. It's interesting that Tal and Geshem are not constants. Remember that they depend very much upon changes atmospherically. Day and night are constants. The sun, the moon are constants. But whether it's going to be a cloudy day, a rainy day, whether the wind blows in, whether the weather systems move in a certain way, such that we are granted the rain or the dew that's needed so that we can have what we need to fructify, to give life, to bring up fruits and vegetables from the soil so that man and beast can live and have what to eat, this gvura is not a constant. Not at all. And it's still to this day, with all of that which man is capable of doing, with all of our technological advancements, the rain is still something that we can't do anything about, not to make it come nor to make it go away. And it's therefore the ultimate in gvura. Mashiv ruach means that the winds that bring in the various cycles of weather and patterns of weather, I should say, these are all brought in by winds and patterns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets in motion. And he's Moivid HaGeshem. He brings the rains. Now, Geshem, interesting word, because while we simply translate it as rain, we know that in the physical world, what we use to define the opposite of ruchnius is gashmius, which means that something that's magusham is of a most material nature. So mashiv ruchu mayrit hageshem means that the physical world and everything that sustains it is brought about by what you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, provide. Everything materially is included, therefore, in this mashiv ruchu mayrit hageshem statement. Morid HaTol, by the way, which many say even during the summertime, as I said, the Gro indicates that we would, and in Eretz Yisrael, where Tal and the dew is so important, it is said. Tal also means Tal Tchia. It means that Lachluchit, it means that capacity to have life. It's the Ruchnius that is the driving force, the Tal Tchia that Yaakov Avinu walked out with when he received brachas from Yitzchak. The Medrash and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that Yaakov Avinu had a certain tal tchia that was all about him as he left after the brachas were granted him, meaning that there was a capacity spiritually that he had gained in the brachas that he had received from Yitzchak, and that too is what tal means. Mechalkel chayim b'chesed. So the first statement here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura is combined with Chesed, the statement about how He provides for us and provides for our living, is combined with not only Gvura, that's absolutely the power HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make the Mashiv Ruach and Moed HaGeshem happen. No one and nothing else can make it rain and can cause the earth to be able to provide us with what we need to eat, but it's a Chesed. Of course it's a Gvura, but it's also a Chesed. It's a kindness. Mechaye meisim berachamim rabim, and brings back life with tremendous rachmanut, with tremendous mercifulness. And rachamim rabim means that there is an array of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercifulness. Not all people are the same. And there is a measure of rachmanut, there's a measure of mercifulness that's needed, that this person should be able to come back, and then there's a completely different measure and calculus involved in making sure that another person is deserving of or granted Tchias HaMeisim. So, Mechayim Meisim Berachamim Rabim means both quantitatively that there is so much mercifulness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back, but it also is a qualitative Rabim, that each person is uniquely judged and uniquely assessed, and the Almighty decides that this person deserves the chance of Tchias HaMeisim for his or her specific reason, because his or her specific life, as he or she lived it, is one which deserves to have with it a little bit of that eternity that I promised man. That I'll be a Rav L'Hashia for him as he deserves it, for her as she deserves it, and that's part of what Rachamim Rabim means. It's not cookie cutter. every human being is a world unto him or herself. And therefore, when you bring back a life, you're bringing back a world, a whole different world, each of us being restored in Tchiyas HaMeisim.
So Rachamim is only based on your merit?
No. Rachamim is that in spite of the fact that merit might only take us so far, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills in, if you will, mercifully, but again, because it's so individual, this person has merit up to a measure and the other person to a different measure in different ways. No two lives are the same. No two challenges are the same. No two accomplishments humanly are the same. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, you know, therefore has this array of rachamim that's not only, as I said, so arithmetically great because we need so much that's granted us, otherwise we wouldn't deserve to have Tchiyas HaMeisim, but it's also different for each person. For the millions and millions and millions of us, it's different for each human being. Rachamim Rabim. Soimech Neufelim. Meanwhile, while we're here, he is Soimech Neufelim, which means he gives support for those who otherwise will fall. This doesn't only mean materially. Obviously, this means spiritually. That there is so much that can weaken us, and there are so many challenges that can dishearten us, and that cause us to be less than perfectly deserving of the Tchiyas HaMeisim about which we're speaking. And what does he do to help us so that we should have and be zochet to Rav Lahoshia, that we should have the Tchiyas HaMeisim about which we speak, that we should be the beneficiaries of the tremendous Gevura, the awesome power of the Almighty. What he does is supports us before we completely fall away from him. He is Somech Noflim. There may be times when we would otherwise really fall so far and so deeply away from every measure of righteousness, goodness, faith, where we could no longer abide by Torah, where we would say, I'm giving it up, where we fall into an abyss that might be caused by any of the challenges, the myriad challenges of our lives. Let's face it, so many times people say, you know, this train that's barreling out of control, I see myself just wanting to get off at the next stop. Or maybe even not even wait for the train to stop. I'll just, in between two compartments or cars, jump off. People want out. There's so much that causes us to have fear, to have questions, doubts. Not only do we doubt ourselves, that's one huge problem, but sometimes we come to even doubt why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, if he wants us to live. We doubt whether there is a Ribono Shel Olam. We are in all states of nefilah, all kinds of descent. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes in a moment the pattern in which we live, or sends us a message, or guides us, or in some way lifts us. Something is there to be Somech Noflim, to support us so we won't fall. Rofei Cholim, also in the spiritual sense, there's a lot of Choli that's material, that's physical and spiritual, and he helps bring succor and he helps bring healing to us. Umatir Asurim, again, Asurim are people who are bound, enslaved, tethered, chained, imprisoned, but it also means people who feel chained or who experience something that's akin to being locked up and forced or otherwise not free. No one could experience this more than Le'aleinu, someone with an addiction. People who have been able to talk to us and explain to us what it's like to be Chas V'Shalom dependent upon something that you cannot rip yourself away from, that you are literally enslaved by it, materially, physically, emotionally, psychologically, bound up, and it's so stifling, it's so much like you're in literally the tightest prison cell and can't escape. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and he's Matir Asurim. There's a tremendous amount that we could discuss about how, for example, in the 12 steps, how much of it is freedom gained by someone saying that I cannot find myself free and make myself and spring myself free, but if I commit myself and turn myself over to the power, the force greater than me, that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, within that, through that, I'll gain freedom. And now we come to something that's incredible. We finally come to a word, the word emuna. You see, slowly but surely, as we make our way through all of these words of praise, we come to ultimately realize that there is something within us called emuna. And that is a belief, a strong-held belief. And we have good reason for that belief, and it's abiding, because he is a mekayim. He is one who will fulfill emunasai, his faithfulness. The reason we have such emuna in him is because he is a mekayim emunasai. Because he is one who you can have faith in. He faithfully fulfills what he promises. And part of what we do when we read Torah, and when we read the Sefer Bereishis, and when we read all about what happened in the Midbar, and ultimately Am Yisrael arriving at the gates of, and in Arvus Moav, the beginnings of our beginning to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Eivel Yarden. All of this is because we are recognizing that everything that was promised to the Avos is being fulfilled. He is a Mekayim Emunasoy Li Sheinei Afar. He is Mekayim, he fulfills faithfully all of what he promised to those who are Yesheinei Afar, who are asleep. Again, not gone forever, but temporarily asleep in the dust of the earth. Now, asleep in the dust of the earth clearly is a description of great humility. Asleep in the dust of the earth, you're not even on a comfortable bed. Not even in a big fancy mausoleum, no. In the ground, in the earth, asleep. Waiting for the great Trias HaMesim to happen. So this again is a tremendous expression of our faith in that Trias HaMesim, but also in how powerful Trias HaMesim is, because what are we but people who've spent our lives, literally spent, it's gone, life is gone from us, and we're laid to rest in a small tract of earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills his promise to a simple man or woman who's asleep in the earth. Micha Molcha Baal Givuros Umidomoloch. Human beings always recognize the power of A by comparing it to B, by saying, so to speak, nothing compares to. That's the way we come to value something and cause it to be supremely appreciated. That's why we say Micha Molcha Baal Gevuros. Of course there's nothing and no one who compares. It's a rhetorical question, but that's how human beings think. That's how we are able to arrive at the idea of supremacy, by saying there is nothing as great as. So that's why we employ that idea, that way of thinking, as we conclude the bracha of Gevuros. Micha Molcha Baal Gevuros Umidomoloch. By the way, of course, the idea of Micha Molcha was also the expression nevuically, prophetically, I should say, evolved in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people at Yamsuf. Everybody at Yamsuf, even the lowest handmaiden, was able to see and understand and experience a nevuah of Hashem's greatness that was greater than anything Yecheskel ben Buzi the Navi ever saw. And the expression Micha Molcha here is Chachameinu giving us a bit of that kind of language to say over, Micha Molcha Baal Gevuros Umidomeloch. No one is comparable. No one has the Gevuros as we've just mentioned them. Melech Meimis Mechaye Umatzmiach Yeshua. The concept of being Matzmiach Yeshua means that something is a seed that you have almost no hope in. It's put in the ground and it deteriorates to the point where it looks as if it's just decaying and becoming worthless. There's no hope, and yet after a long period of cold and dark, winter, the germinating of that seed ends up bringing up new life, where you would otherwise not expect it. The farmer knows that it's there. The farmer believes that with the right weather conditions, it's going to happen. L'havdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like that great trusting farmer who says, I have human beings, and I have great hopes and aspirations for them, kivayochol, so to speak. And I plant things, and I make things happen that the human being is not going to be ready for, or he certainly or she's certainly not expecting. But that's what it means to be Matzmiach Yeshua. It comes, so to speak, unexpectedly up out of the ground. But life is that way. Life and our lives are fertile soil in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants seeds for tremendous things to happen. And that's how we should see ourselves. When we say the words here in Davening Matzmiach Yeshua, we should be able to understand that we are the soil in which the Ribbono Shel Olam plants these seeds and brings us to great moments, happy moments, successful moments, and spiritually high moments, because he is Matzmiach Yeshua, planting the seeds that suddenly sprout forth with new life and new hope. And then again, since the ultimate is that he restores us, v'ne'amanata, and again, now we've gained, through these words, a sense of emuna, so we say, v'ne'amanata l'hachiyos meisim. We're not talking about ourselves, yet we are, because we're saying that you are trustworthy and we have faith in you. There's a faithfulness all about you to ultimately give us a little bit of the nitzchias, the atagibur la'olam that you are. And we're going to have a little bit of it because we too will, with your rachamim rabim, be brought back in the tchiyah when you'll bring us back. So that's why we end with the ultimate in gevura that he grants us, which is going to be imir tashem tchiyas ameisim v'ne'am anatol ha'chayos meisim. You are faithful. And faithful that is a faithfulness we abide and believe in. We are people who believe in you, and we know that you're faithful to do as you have promised. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechayeh HaMeisim. Next time we'll continue with the third bracha with Kedusha.